But we're live. What's up, everybody? Sorry about that. I had a last minute emergency. My film is premiering tomorrow. I guess I'll announce that right now. My film that I've been working on the past 2.5 years is premiering tomorrow. Thank you for that, Colin. That's my movie. It's called Left at Wall. It is premiering tomorrow in San Pedro, California, which is my neighborhood in Los Angeles. So by the way, you can go to the San Pedro International Film Festival. Reserve your spot now. It's tomorrow, November 2nd at 7 p.m. It is free, but reserve your spot because tickets are low. You have to reserve a spot to get in, and it's almost at capacity. So you can go just Google San Pedro International Film Festival. And as you're going through the schedule, make sure you select Left at Wall. Make sure they know you're there for Left at Wall. And that screening is tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Warner Grand in San Pedro, California. And don't worry, there's going to be a ton of other screenings. But anyway, I had to get some last minute stuff together for that. Of course, there's always some tech hiccups. So that's what I was dealing with right before going live. But you are listening to Status Quo / watching Status Quo. You're watching, you're listening, you're absorbing, you're being part of it. Welcome to Status Quo. I am Ron Placone, your host. Jordan Sheraton is making a book. Smash that like button. Smash that like button. And by the way, we're going to have some updates on Jordan's book, or not necessarily Jordan's book, but the topic of Flint, Michigan. But in the meantime, smash the like button. Show the like button who's boss. Leave me a super chat. I want to talk to you. It's always fun talking to everybody. So please leave a super chat. It helps keep the show on the air. And it's good to see everybody. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to be talking about, first of all, an Israel-Palestine update, and Tulsi Gabbard had some great insight, just wonderful insight on the topic. We're going to be going through that. We're going to be doing a Flint update with Jordan. Jordan did a full-length video a little earlier today. We're going to be going through some of that. We're going to be looking at the most up-to-date things when it comes to SAG-AFTRA, and that is changing by the minute. When we get to that topic, I'm going to check my phone in real time to see if there were any updates, because there might be. SAG-AFTRA could potentially, I kind of doubt it, y'all, but could potentially be resolved today. And chances are it would happen around now, because it's about 5 p.m. or it's after 5 p.m. Eastern time. I guess they could drag it out to 5 p.m. Pacific time. We'll see. But I will be checking in real time for some updates when we get to that story. So we're going to have some SAG-AFTRA news, a little bit of net neutrality news, nothing major. And first, and certainly first and not, I was going to say, like, the phrase is last but not least. And I almost said first but not least, because it is first. And it's also what our poll today is going to be based on. We're going to have a poll today. And the poll is, as long as there's no poison pills, would you support Josh Hawley's bill? The answers are yes or no. And we're going to break it down first. If you already know your vote, feel free to vote now. But if you don't, if you're like, what's this all about? We're going to go through it right now. Apparently, Mitch McConnell and Josh Hawley are having a little tiff. That's interesting. This really brought Mitch McConnell out of his shell. Let's go to the CNN ticker, Colin. Let's go to the CNN. Mitch McConnell warns GOP senators they'll face incoming if they back Hawley bill to limit corporate giving and campaigns. Okay, so here's the gist here. Josh Hawley is sponsoring a bill to roll back Citizens United. So Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell bluntly warned Republican senators in a private meeting not to sign on to a bill from Senator Josh Hawley aimed at limiting corporate money bankrolling high-powered outside groups, telling them that many of them won their seats thanks to the powerful super PAC the Kentucky Republican has long controlled. According to multiple sources familiar with the Tuesday lunch meeting, McConnell warned GOP senators that they could face incoming from the center right if they signed on to Hawley's bill. He also read off a list of senators who won their races amid heavy financial support from the Senate Leadership Fund, an outside group tied to the GOP leader that spends big on TV ads and battleground Senate races. Now, ironically enough, on the list of senators is Hawley himself. You got to love that. All right, so scroll down. McConnell has long been a chief opponent of tighter campaign finance restrictions. Can you just imagine that lunch? Like, all right, so one of our senators is trying to rail in corporate spending in campaigns, and we can't have that. That's the only way we win. So Hawley's new bill, called the Ending Corporate Influence on Election Act, is aimed at reversing the Supreme Court's 2010 Citizens United decision that basically allowed unlimited spending. So Hawley's new bill is focused on reversing that. An effort that aligns with conservative Missouri Republicans and with many Democrats. Hawley's bill would ban publicly traded corporations from making independent expenditures and political advertisement, and ban those publicly traded companies from giving money to super PACs. In an interview, Hawley defended his bill and said that corporate influence should be limited in elections. Now, here's Hawley's explanation. I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong as an original matter. I think it's warping our politics, and I see no reason for conservatives to defend it. It's wrong as a matter of the original meaning of the Constitution. It's bad for our election. It's bad for our voters. And I just think on principle, we ought to be concerned. All right. Now, I don't agree with Josh Hawley on a lot. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of y'all don't either. I disagree with that guy on a lot of things. However, what he just said there, I agree with 110%, and I'm sure a lot of you do as well. He is against Citizens United. I'm against Citizens United. Now, a couple things here as we dive into this further. First of all, rolling back Citizens United, well, that will be a good thing. If that happens, and hopefully it does, but just to, you know, not trying to be Debbie Downer Magoo, but just to be thorough here. Rolling back Citizens United, just so you're all aware, does not mean that money is out of politics. It does not mean that dirty money is all out of politics. Basically, rolling back Citizens United just gets us back to where we were in the early 2000s. So there's still going to be corporate money in politics, but it's going to be rolled back a little bit. Now, again, I'm all about ending Citizens United. Don't get me wrong. But the work doesn't stop there. It's not like, hey, Citizens United, we rolled it back, which, by the way, that was a Supreme Court decision, so the courts would have to be involved in rolling it back. But, you know, even if we roll it back, still doesn't mean all money out of politics. Just to make that clear. And, you know, Mitch McConnell, of course, is outraged about this. Let's go to the tweet. Let's get a little more into the McConnell-Hawley feud. And then we'll go to an MSNBC piece that thickens the plot a little bit. So new Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell went after Josh Hawley, in a closed Senate GOP meeting today. Hawley signed on to an End Citizens United bill. McConnell told Hawley he's only in the Senate because of the Senate Leadership Fund, which accepts unlimited contributions. Look, you're only in here because of unlimited political corporate money, just like me. We don't represent the needs of the people. Ah. McConnell told Hawley, yeah, okay. McConnell warned that anyone who signs on to that will get heavy incoming. What a weird way to put it. You're going to get heavy incoming. I think maybe there was another word after incoming, but he short-circuited before he found the word. It's like, you're going to get a lot of incoming. They just froze. Well, incoming criticism, incoming opponents, incoming tweets, incoming free lunches. What's incoming, Mitch? He doesn't know. So here's an MSNBC piece that I think's a little interesting here. And it adds an interesting. All right. So let's just go to it. Josh Hawley's Citizens United stunt isn't what it seems. Okay. Senator Josh Hawley is announcing a bill aimed at unraveling the Citizens United decision that's long been a liberal target. At first glance, it seems strange for the right-wing lawmaker to press against the 5-4 conservative majority ruling credited with unleashing dark money in politics. It didn't necessarily unleash it. It just turned it up to 11. It's not like none of it was there before. It was just turned up to 11 with the Citizens United decision. Just to be clear, I know you might be thinking, Ron, I feel like you're kind of splitting hairs here, but I really do believe it's important to note that, yes, ending Citizens United is a great thing. I'm for it 120%, but that doesn't mean all money's out of politics. All right. Here's what I want to see at the end of the day. I want to see completely publicly financed elections. Our election cycle should be 6 weeks. all political staffers and the candidates themselves should get living stipends of minimum wage. Should not be a dime more than minimum wage. And by the way, if that was the case, you could be damn sure minimum wage would become a living wage real freaking quick. If every political staffer and person running for office had to get public funds and make minimum wage during their campaign, minimum wage would be a living wage real freaking quick. You make our election cycle six weeks, completely federal funded. Now, the one voice that people do get as far as their dollars are concerned, I think there should be a thing. You know how, like, whenever you vote or something like that, there's a thing where you can opt to contribute $3 to the presidential fund. I think that during our six-week election cycle, after the third week, they give everybody in the country a tax credit. So it's a tax credit. You can use it or not. Either way, it's a credit. And you just get $3. No more, no less. Just $3. And it's like, hey, here's $3. It's a tax credit. You get the tax credit no matter what. But you can either give it to a candidate of your choice. And it could be the Republican, the Democrat, the Libertarian, the Green, the Socialist. Doesn't matter. Anyone who's on the ballot. And again, money's out of politics, so it'll be easier to get on the ballot. So you can give that $3 to the candidate of your choice. Or if there's no candidate that you really give a hoot about, you can direct that $3 to something else. It's a tax credit no matter what. The $3 is yours no matter who you are, no matter what your income is. Doesn't matter. It's just a $3 tax credit that everyone gets. And you can either say, yeah, it's going to go to this candidate, or you know what? I don't give a hoot about electoral politics, or you know what? I think every candidate is a floating turd. I don't want to vote or support any of them. So give my $3 to parks, or give my $3 to education, or give my $3 to, whatever. So that's what I think we should have. Complete public financing, no outsider money whatsoever. No individual can give more than a $3 tax credit. That's it. And even that $3 tax credit, I'm undecided on. That's the world I want to see. In 6 weeks, our election cycles go on indefinitely. It's freaking obnoxious. And it stopped being funny after like 2008. You know, 2008 was pretty funny. Well, 2012 was kind of funny. When that dude with his phone ended Mitch McConnell's campaign, that was pretty hilarious. Do you remember when that happened? It was the, what number did he say? Was it 37%? There was that guy, for those of you who don't remember, there was an event where Mitt Romney. Sorry, we were just covering Mitch McConnell. Mitt Romney, his campaign was ended in 2012 by that guy who was catering his event. And Mitt Romney was going on this big, long tangent about how, I want to say it was 37%, but I might be misremembering the exact number. But he said how, you know, whatever percent of the country is just lazy and just wants a quote unquote handout or whatever. The guy who was catering the event or bartending or whatever he was doing said, I think this is noteworthy. He started filming it on his cell phone, posted it. It went viral, and that plummeted Mitt Romney's campaign. All the money Barack Obama spent, and I think Barack Obama would have beaten him no matter what, but all the money that guy spent and some random dude bartending with his cell phone ended Mitt Romney's freaking campaign. That's powerful. That really is. All right. So anyway, that was funny and interesting, but it's just not as funny anymore. So it should be just 6 weeks. I do firmly believe that. All right. Anyway, let's get back to this piece. So here's what this MSNBC columnist has to say. Okay. So scroll up a little bit, Colin. Let's start. Okay. So, indeed, the Missouri senator, known for demagoguing in hearings and fist pumping on January 6th, reportedly said Monday, I am an originalist. That's such a weird title to throw on yourself. I've never heard anyone say that before, by the way. Has anyone heard that before? Originalist. I mean, I know it has to do with the like Constitution. It's amazing the people that are so militant and evangelical about the Constitution. Like it's some infallible document. Like the Constitution was basically written by a bunch of frat boys, some of whom probably had syphilis. It was just written by like a bunch of white slave owners who were in their early 20s And they're kind of just flying by the seat of their pants going, well, England wasn't strict enough religiously for some of us. All right. But yeah, no, it's a flawless document. We should never change it. All right. So he goes, I am an originalist, and I don't think you can make an originalist case for business corporations being treated like individuals. Well, I agree with that sentiment when it comes to the right to political speech. His stated criticism is true enough. This is the column. But originalism being a mode of constitutional interpretation is a clue that simple legislation wouldn't overturn the ruling he's supposedly criticizing. Hawley is a former clerk to Chief Justice John Roberts, by the way. Then there's what the measure wouldn't do. Okay, so this is interesting. As Real Clear Politics observed, it ironically would not stop the conservative group that upended modern election law. Citizens United itself is a nonprofit and therefore wouldn't be affected. Safe to say, leaving nonprofits out of the equation wouldn't solve the dark money problem. Look at the 2022 midterm elections. For example, the nonprofit One Nation donated $53.5 million to the GOP-aligned Senate Leadership Fund, the largest political contribution of any organization. So Hawley's faux populist stunt, either legally can't go anywhere, politically won't go anywhere, won't work the true reform it implies if it does go anywhere, or all three. So here's what's interesting here. Now, I don't fully agree with the analysis in that article. I do think it brings up some interesting points, but here's what's going on here. So one of the things that article did not point out, and just to be clear, this is in no way a defense of Josh Hawley. This is just kind of looking at the situation from all angles here. First of all, as we already covered, simply overturning Citizens United does not get all money out of politics. It just gets us back to where we were in the early 2000s. So saying, oh, well, it doesn't include nonprofits, so it's no good. No, it's still overturning Citizens United, which is a good thing. But that doesn't mean all money's out of politics, no matter what. Second of all, here's the thing about nonprofits that this article did not point out. There's the two most common types of nonprofits are a 501c3 and a 501c4. Now, a 501c3, you cannot have any political contributions or influence at all. You basically have to stay out of electoral politics pretty much if you are a 501c3. If you are a 501c4, then you can be involved with politics to an extent as long as it is not your main emphasis. So this group who gave the $53.5 million, they're probably a group that's so freaking big that they were able to make the case that, hey, $53.5 million is nothing to us. We have way bigger expenditures than that. So that's the situation there. Now, is something automatically corrupt if it's a 501c4? Absolutely not. Certain types of nonprofits, due to the work that they do, they need to be in the political realm to some extent. They need to advocate for different laws and policies. So they register as a 501c4 because that's basically them being honest. They're not trying to break rules that a 501c3 would be breaking. So they're saying, look, we're more of a 501c4. So they're just being more honest about what people are getting into. However, you know, if you wanted to kind of fudge with what you're able to do as far as political contributions, you would want to register as a 501c4, not a 501c3. If Citizens United were to end, is there a good chance we would see some kind of shystery organizations registering as 501c4s to try to find loopholes? Yeah, probably. Is that a reason to not support a bill that would end Citizens United? I don't think so. I still think it's a good thing to end Citizens United. I'm sorry, I'm really thirsty. So I feel like this piece is, I don't want to say necessarily a straw man, but it just seems a little bit like it's reaching a little bit, if that makes sense. Like, it's kind of reaching to just be like, well, if it doesn't include nonprofits, it's not going to go anywhere. Well, no, it's still overturning Citizens United, which is a good thing. But there's still money in politics, even without Citizens United. But, you know, hey, you got to start somewhere. So our poll today is, assuming there's no poison pills, which as of right now, there have been no poison pills detected, would you support Josh Hawley's bill, yes or no? So I'm in the yes column. I mean, if something gets rid of Citizens United, as long as there's no poison pills that would put us in an even worse situation, I would support that legislation no matter who proposes it. I don't care who it is. So, you know, again, don't agree with Josh Hawley on a whole lot, but assuming this is just a bill that ends Citizens United, yeah, we'd be better off with that than without it. Still have a long way to go to get money out of politics. Still have a long way to go for the scenario I want to see, which is completely publicly funded elections and no more than 6 weeks. If we're going to be more than 6 weeks, it's got to get funnier again. It's got to get funnier. And I'm sorry, the GOP shit show where they were just talking over each other, not good enough. Not good enough. Chris Christie's cringe jokes, not good enough. Not good enough. So vote now, vote often. Give your vote. Assuming there's no poison pills, and we'll keep an eye on this, and if there are, we'll report on it, but assuming there's no poison pills, would you be in favor of Josh Hawley's bill? Yes or no? And if no, I'd be curious as to why. If no, like why would you not want to see Citizens United end? I guess Mitch McConnell's going to vote no a bunch of times. Mitch McConnell is watching this right now, and he's going to vote no. He's like, no, because corporate money helps keep us in this. I'm just kidding. Mitch McConnell is probably not watching this because he probably does not know how to use a computer. All right, let's go to some Israel-Palestine stuff. And we'll go to the Democracy Now! Piece first. And then we will see some just stellar words from Tulsi Gabbard. All right, so here we go. Anti-war protesters disrupt Blinken and Austin Senate hearings to call for ceasefire. That's cool. A little bit of good news, or a little bit of good news in the activism space. In Washington, D.C., protesters on Tuesday repeatedly disrupted a Senate panel for Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Their testimony was in support of President Biden's request for $106 billion. God, just let that sink in. $106 billion. To fund the militaries of Ukraine, Israel, and to militarize the U.S.-Mexico border. These are our priorities. These are our priorities as a country. To militarize the U.S.-Mexico border, which, by the way, we have a net zero immigration in this country. Most of the people who are coming here, they're coming here because they're climate refugees. They're not coming here because this is some great land of opportunity. In fact, honestly, a bunch of Americans are moving to Mexico. It's a cheaper cost of living. There's free health care. It's an easier way of life. The wall is to keep us in, okay? The wall is to keep us in. And with the way things are going, Canada's probably going to build one to just keep us out. All right. So Ann Wright says this, 3,500 kids dead. Come on. I'm an Army colonel. I'm a former diplomat. I resigned on that war in Iraq that you talked about. That was a terrible thing. And what you're doing right now in supporting Israel's genocide of Gaza is a terrible thing too. Stop the war. Ceasefire now. Let's scroll down a little bit. There was something else I wanted to. So here's another update. Israeli strikes kill at least 50 Gazans and Jabalia, has overrun hospitals. Are on the brink of catastrophe. Look at that. Just, oh my God. In Gaza, Israel struck the densely populated Jabalia refugee camp again today, one day after an Israeli air attack killed at least 50 people and injured another 150. So here's what a doctor who treated victims of the Jabalia attack had to say. A large number of injured have come to us after the large explosion that shook the entire Jabalia refugee camp. Hundreds of injuries, hundreds of martyrs. They were just sitting in their homes. They were targeted while they were in their homes. Children, all martyrs. Children, women, elderly. We have no idea what to do. There are injured everywhere. All the volunteers went down in hand just to help people. The World Health Organization is warning of an imminent public health catastrophe in Gaza, with some surgeries performed without anesthesia due to dire shortage of medical supplies. Mohammed Abu Al-Qusam, an engineer with Al Jazeera's Gaza Bureau, lost 19 family members. Wow. Including his father and two sisters in Israeli raids on the Jabalia camp. That's what's going on over there. Thousands of people, thousands of children, they're being brutalized. It is complete chaos. Their internet's been completely blacked out, so people don't even know where help is needed. I mean, you read these reports where what few medical resources are still available, ambulances and what have you. They just drive to where they're hearing blasts to see if they can help at all, because they don't even know where are the people who need help. I mean, they're everywhere. So they just, all right, there's a blast. We're going to drive towards it to try to help people. It's absolute madness. And by the way, Halloween was yesterday. And Tulsi Gabbard, I don't know what her costume was, but maybe she dressed up as whatever political ideology she's going to be next. Because Tulsi Gabbard, first she was a DNC. Well, first she was like a far right religious extremist, because that was how she grew up. Then she was a DNC darling. Then she was a Bernie progressive. Then she was an anti-war, anti-imperialist. Then she was kind of anti-war, but kind of also libertarian in politics. Then she was MAGA. Now she's a MAGA imperialist. Now she loves war. Here is a doozy of a clip from Tulsi Gabbard. Now, I'll be totally honest with you guys. The first time I watched this clip, I'm not being metaphorical here. I'm being literal. My stomach hurt after. Like it literally made me sick to my stomach. This clip is absolutely disgusting. Please don't tune out. But I'm warning you, this is a gross freaking clip. Colin, can we go to this clip?
I don't know if Kamala knows what she's up to, but the reality here is when you look at things like what Representative Cori Bush is saying, what the Squad is saying, what so many of these other people are saying who are accusing Israel of committing a genocide, it is the height of hypocrisy, because they're apologists and supporters of these Islamist Hamas terrorists who are calling for a genocide, the extermination of all Jews, not just in Israel, but around the world. And we're seeing this being carried out by these violent mobs and threats and other things that are happening against Jewish people literally around the world. And the worst part is they're doing this under the guise of, well, we care about innocent people and we don't want people to get hurt, when in fact they are in essence supporting and apologizing for the barbaric actions of Hamas against innocent women, children, and civilians.
I called it creating the monster. Like, they're Dr. Frankenstein. And now the monster in their progressive wing is turning against them. But they're trying to pretend like they're, oh, this is kind of a shocking development. It's not a shocking development. No. This has always been there. But it's also deeply anti-American, is it not?
It is. And it is against the very foundational principles and values of who we are as a country. These Democrats, they have called people like me an Islamophobe for many years just for speaking the truth about radical Islam, about the threat that this Islamism poses to the freedom and peace and security of the American people and people around the world.
Well, do you believe, as do some of these Republicans in the Senate, that we should be bringing in more Afghan refugees? We brought in, 80, 90,000? We didn't vet any of them. I'm sure some of them are great people and helped us in Afghanistan, but do we have 80,000 interpreters or drivers? I mean, I don't think so.
There are many, unquestionably, yeah. But just like we're so concerned about Biden's open borders and the fact that we've got millions of people coming in who are not vetted in any way, shape, or form, who have not been checked.
But they
don't
share our values, to Nigel Farage's point as to what you're seeing in England.
Right.
They say, oh, you can't call it a clash of civilizations. Why not? Mm. It is a clash of civilizations. No women's rights, no belief in pluralism, the dignity of the individual, free expression. None of that.
No.
That's not on the table.
No. And that is the hypocrisy of seeing these, the LGBTQIA activists out there holding and waving the trans flag combined with the Palestinian flags. Like, they don't,
that's a new level.
They don't know and understand what this Islamist ideology is, this radical Islam ideology, where they actually want to kill people. They want to kill those people.
But
specifically,
Tulsi, they have to tie Ukraine to Israel because they know Ukraine
won't stand on its own.
It's not working.
That funding, and again, they're trying to cheat the American people through their representatives by saying, okay, you support and you want to stand with Israel. Well, guess what? We're going to sneak in all of this other money that we're going to take out of your pocket and your bank account to go and support something that increasingly Americans are understanding.
It's not
proxy war against Russia is pushing us closer to nuclear war, and it's not in our best national security interest to do that.
Wow. I agree with that last sentence, by the way. Like the whole conflict, you know, the whole Russia-Ukraine thing pushing us closer to a world war. I do agree with that. But wow, the rest of that. Wow. Wow. First of all, I love how Tulsi Gabbard needs to try to figure out a way to throw transgender people under the bus. She's gotta try to figure out a way. She's like, the topic is Israel-Palestine. Give your, you know, warmongering Western war propaganda version of things for us, please. And then try to figure out a way to throw transgender people under the bus. And she tried and did it. And that whole thing where she's like, oh, there's people who are calling for... It reminds me of during the Iraq war and during... just when the U.S. was just mercilessly bombing the Middle East in response to 9/11, it reminds me of when they would find these selected sound bites of people saying things about the United States and using that as justification to bomb innocent people who had nothing to do with anything. That's exactly what she was saying. And have people done anti-Semitic things during all this? Yes, absolutely they have. And is that terrible? Yes, that is absolutely terrible. You should not blame any Jewish person for what the right-wing Israeli government is doing. That's wrong. However, to say that because there have been some occurrences of that justifies the bombing and brutalization and genocide in Gaza against people who have nothing to do with any of that. Half of them are children. To say that justifies it. What planet are you living on? That is pretzel logic beyond comprehension, and it's just war propaganda, and that's what Tulsi Gabbard was doing there. Complete war propaganda. And man, you know what? There was a time where I thought Tulsi Gabbard was sincere. Even when I acknowledged that I didn't agree with her on everything. You know, I mean, I did support Bernie over her. I did, you know, especially as 2020 wore on, it was clear that Bernie was the best choice over her. But I still thought highly of her. I thought she was bringing an anti-imperialist message that nobody else was. And at the time, she technically was. It just wasn't sincere. I mean, listen to that. How could you say that she was ever sincere about anything? She's just, I mean, and again, she's no different than 99% of all politicians. But the difference is, you know, I was duped by her at one point because I thought she was sincere. I thought that her change, drifting, getting away from her homophobic past was sincere. It wasn't. I was wrong. I thought that she was sincere in her anti-war views, and I respected that. How can you think, I mean, watching this clip, how can you say she's sincere in any, you know, anti-imperialist views? So, yeah. Oh, that was a doozy of a clip. And you know what? Whenever I see an atrocious take from Tulsi Gabbard, which these days is basically whenever she opens her mouth, I'm reminded that I have some really cool friends in my life, because I had a lot of friends and colleagues who were not duped by Tulsi Gabbard, who said, Ron, she's not what she's posing to be. And I said, no, I think she's really sincere about this. And I think she brings an important perspective. And they said, Ron, nope. And they were right. And I was wrong. And they've never rubbed my nose in it. They've never rubbed my nose in it. I was the one who said, hey, I'm going to eat crow when it comes to Tulsi Gabbard. I was totally wrong there. So So thank you, friends of mine who were never duped by Tulsi Gabbard, for not for not being too hard on me for having been duped by her at one point. I mean, I never voted for her, which I'm thrilled I never voted for her, but at one point I did think highly of her, and I was completely wrong, completely and utterly wrong. All right, so let's go to SAG-AFTRA. Well, wait, first, let's check in on the poll. How is the poll going? For those of you who tuned in late, our poll today is, assuming there are no poison pills, which we need to wait to find more, but assuming there's no poison pills, would you support Josh Hawley's bill that calls for an end to Citizens United? Yes or no? Colin, how are we looking?
All right, so currently we're at, and this is one thing, I thought people could change their votes, but I guess they can't. So next time I'll wait till after the time.
Oh, does some poll people does. Have second thoughts?
Probably. But as of right now, our yes is at 70% and no is at 30%. Oh, just changed 71% and 29%.
Who's voting no? What are some of the no reasons?
Yeah, if you guys have
why would you not want to just overturn Citizens United? Again, that's assuming there's no poison pills. If there's poison pills, that changes everything. But assuming there's no poison pills and, okay, you know, it's overturning Citizens United, why would you be against that? It's like, let's keep it as bad as it could possibly be. Let's just keep
it. That whole, maybe it's the whole, well, if you can't beat them.
That'll work great. That'll work great because I'm sure
ask group Elizabeth of, Warren how well it worked.
Yeah, right. I'm sure a group of well-meaning progressives can raise the type of money that a Koch brothers funded political machine can. Just give them a couple weeks. Give them a couple of weeks and a GoFundMe. That's all it takes. That's why lefties win elections so much. They win all the time.
They're prolific with GoFundMe is what the barometer is.
All right. Well, I'm not. Hey, give me some reasons for your no vote. I'd be curious. Leave it in a super chat. Maybe your no vote is just, well, I like Mitch McConnell. I came late, saw Holly's name and voted no. That's fair. I mean, you know, again, well, that's why we had to have the qualifier that assuming there are no poison pills, because, you know, I trust Josh Hawley as far as I can throw him. So, you know, assuming there are no poison pills, would you support it? I mean, if it's just to end Citizens United, I'll support it. I don't care who proposes it. I don't care, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat, Republican, whatever. I don't care. If it's a bill that does that, I'm for it. And by the way, Josh Hawley, just to be fair, Josh Hawley did support the antitrust bills of OMA and ECOA. Josh Hawley supported them. He was for that antitrust. So, you know, again, I disagree with Josh Hawley on a lot. I think especially when it comes to social issues, but you know, every now and again, he seems to not be a fan of unlimited corporate influence. I mean, is it sincere? Is it not sincere? Who knows? But, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention about that MSNBC piece is I think part of the reason that piece might exist, because it's trying to make it out like there's nothing good about, you know, potentially ending Citizens United in that bill, just because of the personality who's supporting it, in Josh Hawley. I think part of the reason for that piece is because I think that if there ever was an actual effort to roll back Citizens United, you would see a lot of Democrats who wouldn't want to support it. I mean, you'd see most Republicans would not support it, but you'd see some Democrats who wouldn't want to support it either. They'd want to keep Citizens United, and something like that gives them an out. They can kind of, oh, well, it doesn't include nonprofits, so people just have a loophole with nonprofits. Like, I think maybe you just like Citizens United. I think maybe that's the problem. But anyway, all right. So there you go. All right. We'll keep revisiting the poll here before it's over. All right. So let's go to SAG And let me go ahead and figure out if anything new has been tweeted. First, well, here, before we do that, let's go to the article and get everyone up to speed. So the writers' portion of the strike has technically ended. The WGA strike has ended. The SAG-AFTRA strike has not. So basically, the writers can go back to work, but the actors can't. So let's see where we're at so far. Let's start with this article, and then we'll go see if there's any updates. So this is from yesterday. SAG-AFTRA negotiations to continue Wednesday with deal in sight. Things are looking a little less scary for the for Hollywood this Halloween night. On the 110th day of the strike, it looks like a deal appears to be within reach. The two sides broke off in the afternoon after a day that was spent dealing with AI issues and are set to return to the bargaining table on Wednesday. That's today. So they're at the bargaining table as of right now. While expressing that talks are headed in the right direction, one studio side source says it could take a few days to work through the remaining issues. Two additional studio side sources said talks are progressing overall in a substantial way and that a deal could be imminent. Multiple prominent actors said they have received word that a deal could be at hand soon as well. Just one day earlier, on Monday, the union's negotiating committee telegraphed to members that a new deal and an end to the strike might not be immediate. While talks over the past week have been productive, we remain far apart on key issues. At that point, the two sides still had yet to come to a final agreement on contract language around AI. All right, so here's kind of a summary of what's going on. They want to use, so in the WGA deal, they kind of put some guardrails around AI. Now, the pessimist in me is worried that part of the reason the studios caved as soon as they did is because WGA deals are only for 3 years. The studios know that AI cannot develop a script yet, at least not a script that would be usable. So what they're thinking is, well, whatever, we can concede some now because it'll probably take 3 years before this could do a script anyway. That's, you know, kind of what the pessimist in me is concerned about, right? Over on the SAG side, what they're fighting is that the studios want to be able to basically use your image indefinitely. They want to be able to take your image, use your image, and just use it indefinitely, which would eliminate jobs for background actors and things like that. Now, the studios have claimed that, oh, we just meant for that specific project. So, like, if you're a background actor in a movie, they could basically take your likeness, they'll pay you for it, but then they can use it indefinitely for that project. So you would still get work as a background actor. It just wouldn't be as long. You wouldn't need to be on set the whole time. The SAG-AFTRA respondent said, no, you wanted to use it indefinitely. And now what's coming to the surface is that the studios were saying, oh, we can use it indefinitely for this project and quote unquote related projects. Well, what does related projects mean? Anything by the studio? Anything by the same production company? A sequel? What the hell does that mean? What does related projects mean? Here's what they'll want it to mean. They'll want it to be open-ended so they can interpret it however they want. So, you guessed it, they can use your likeness indefinitely. That's what's really going on here. And that's one of the reasons why SAG-AFTRA still hasn't settled, because the studios just basically want to eliminate as many jobs as they can and rely on AI. That's what's going on. And some have said, I've never seen it, so I can't speak to it firsthand, but some were saying this was a Black Mirror episode. I can't speak to that because I haven't seen that episode. But I've heard that in more than one occasion. I think someone said in the chat that was a thing. All right. So that's what's going on. So let's see. They're at the bargaining table right now. Let's check in real time and see if there's any updates. I'm like literally going to go to SAG-AFTRA's Twitter account. Or actually, Colin, can we do that together? Can we? Okay, here's an update. Can you pull up SAG-AFTRA's Twitter account? There is an update. Why don't we watch this video? So day 111. Let's see if there's any. This is a direct from SAG-AFTRA. So let's see. We'll go ahead and watch this video. Yeah, that's the one, Colin. I see it. That's the one. So yeah, let's jam this thing.
It's day 111 of SAG-AFTRA strike. We are outside of Disney at a Unity picket today, and there has been an amazing turnout, not only of our members, as you can see in here, but also of the members of other unions here in the LA area, all of the Teamsters, IATSE, Basic Crafts Unions, WGA, DGA, AFM, everybody's out here supporting us today and sending a message to these companies that they have to bring it across the finish line and make a fair deal with us. And that's what it's all about. The unity and solidarity of our members is so powerful. And that is the message that's coming out of this day. It's day 111 of SAG-AFTRA strike. We are outside of Disney at a...
Okay, so it sounds like they have not reached a deal yet. Now here's the other thing here. If they don't reach a deal, there's been grumblings as well that if they don't reach a deal this week, they're probably not going to reach a deal until 2024. Now, why would that be? Well, because it's already November. Show business is usually just MIA the month of December. Like it just kind of hibernates. It goes to sleep. The entire city of Los Angeles kind of hibernates for a little bit. It's trippy. I don't know. If you live in Los Angeles, have you ever spent a holiday here? It's kind of trippy. The winter holiday in specifically, like Christmas Eve through New Year's is a weird time in Los Angeles because it's basically empty because most of the people who live in Los Angeles aren't from Los Angeles. So a lot of people go home for the holidays. My wife and I, in recent years, we haven't traveled during the holidays. We go see family during other times of the years when it's not as hectic to travel. And we kind of just do our own thing out here. So we're around, but it's a trippy experience. You're like, you realize that it shouldn't take as long as it takes to get everywhere. Because even though it's a super big place, it's like when you're zooming down the highway, you're like, oh, it only really, you should be able to get to this place in 20 minutes. But usually it takes an hour and a half because there's 1.5 billion cars in this ridiculous cluster of a city. So anyway. I don't know why I got on all that. Oh, yeah, I was talking about, okay, so here's the way it works. Chances are, like, December, everything shuts down. November, things are winding down. So if they don't reach an agreement within, like, the next week or so, what the hell are they going to do? Okay, we reached an agreement. You can go back to work for, like, a week, and then we're going to shut down again for the year. Okay, well, that's helpful. So my prediction is... this is going to go on. This specific strike is going to go on until 2024. And because of that, nothing's really going to restart until the new year. Because here's the thing about, you know, film and TV and the film and TV industry in Los Angeles. It's not like the UAW situation where people are just making cars or making cars on an assembly line, right? You're either making cars on an assembly line or you're not. So you're either on strike or you're not. Show business is a little different because it's all on creative projects. So it's not like, oh, the strike's over, we're going back to work tomorrow. For some people, that's the case. If they were already on a show that just had to like put everything on hiatus until the strike's over, then yeah, they'll just go back to work like normal. But for people who are pitching things, shopping things in different stages of development on whatever, it's not like you just quote unquote, go back to work, because there's going to be a realignment of what is getting greenlit and what isn't. And because there was a lull and a strike, they're going to focus on all of the A-listers. So if you were part of something that didn't involve a bunch of A-listers, you're probably getting pushed down the line and you're probably getting the shaft and you're probably not getting the funding you thought you were going to get. And you're probably just going to have to hurry up and wait. So it's not like you can just, quote unquote, go back to work unless you were already, you know, on an A-level show that's just going to get back into production right away. So we're all still feeling the effects of this strike. We're all still feeling the effects of show business just being in a weird place. And it's very, very frustrating. And if they don't reach a deal by this week, I think that premonition is going to be accurate. If they don't reach a deal by this week, the year's done. And for those of you who have been following all of our coverage here, I predicted that back in June, and I said, I sincerely hope I'm wrong, but I think even if the strike ends beforehand, chances are this year's done. This year's a wash, and it looks like that's coming to fruition, and that really sucks. that really, really sucks. But SAG-AFTRA strong, WGA strong, and hopefully the studios stop. And that's another problem. The studios have a financial incentive to draw this out as long as possible, because a lot of the executives and the CEOs, they make their bonuses based on quarters, based on like the profit reports via quarters. So they're losing money, yes, but if they're also not making anything, so they're not spending money, they're probably still making the profits they want to see, and they can just ride that out. So a bunch of these executives are probably thinking, gee, I'm making my bonus anyway, might as well just wait out this strike as long as we can. So it's a completely inefficient system that is literally killing itself. Hollywood is literally killing itself. And, you know, I was on the phone with my mom a day or two ago, because I actually had to go to an event. And I was telling her, you know, my niece is about 6 months old. I think she just turned 6 months. And I was just saying, like, I don't think Los Angeles, when she is, you know, a teenager or even in middle school, I don't think, quote unquote, Hollywood, the idea of Hollywood, is going to be what it is now. And she will have no point of reference there. Like, she'll be hearing stories of what Hollywood used to be. Like, she'll be like, oh, was my uncle Ron around when Hollywood was still a thing? And we'll tell her, well, technically, he showed up at Last Call. So he was there for a little bit. But yeah. Oh, and Michael, to answer your question, I can show chats. I didn't know I had this power. Holy shit, Colin, did you see me do that by myself? Oh, man. A new tool has been unleashed. Oh, Colin, shit's going to hit the fan. We can both bring in the chatty chats now. This is nuts. How is your mustache game? Is it on point? Are you ready for this? Michael, to answer your question, yes, actually. Foreign content is basically becoming the norm now. And yeah, I'm actually kind of looking into some of that stuff myself, because I wouldn't mind relocating to the sunny peninsula of Italy at some point. Or Scotland. Italy or Scotland. More on that later. But Michael, the short answer to your question is yes. Yes. Okay, so let's go to the super chats, and then let's do our poll. Oh man, let me see if I could highlight. Oh, here, I can look at me go. Oh, Tyler. What's up, Tyler? How are you, buddy? Love all the work y'all do. Keep it up. Thank you for that, Tyler. Much appreciated. Hope you are well. Boom. Look what I did. I did the hair. Oh, look. Wait. Oh, Colin, we can't both do it. All right. You do it. Show Tony. I think we're both hitting it at the same time. Ron rules. Thank you for that, Tony. Hope all is well in Chicago, my friend. I want to see Tina and Ron together. And then you have a heart. That is very nice of you. I'm sure Tina will collaborate at some point. She's been wanting to have me on her Friday right-wing insanity report. But I guess there's got to be the appropriate topic of which I can comment on the right-wing insaneness. Although this is my PM Press t-shirt that says, no Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA. Would be an appropriate t-shirt to wear on Tina's show. So I'll wear this t-shirt. That's a promise. Thank you for that, Tony D. Michael, what's up? Free Palestine. Amen. Amen. And Dave L., what's up? Striking unions should have donate buttons on their websites. They should. They totally should. I hired a paralegal to do some research to see if there was some reason they couldn't. Doesn't appear to be any law preventing it. Interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't know. I don't know why they couldn't do it. I mean, I know that there was a case in Alabama, of all places, because I covered it here on Status Quo, where there's this one. I forget which company it is, but the workers have been on strike for over 14 months. And the reason they're able to go on strike for as long as they are is because, is because the community supports them. The community will like give them some money to help their strike fund. The community will help feed them. Like basically the community has solidarity with them to allow them to strike as long as they need, which is pretty awesome. Moved to Toronto, Canada. You know, I thought about it. I was up for a job in Toronto once. which is random, but I was up for a job in Toronto. My wife and I talked about it, decided it was a move we'd be willing to consider. I did not get the gig, but I thought about it. My thing with Toronto and in Canada in general is it's a little expensive, and you guys up in Canada have a really shitty neighbor. Your neighbor's a fucking asshole. And I don't know if I'd want to deal with that shitty neighbor. It's the same problem Mexico has. If I ever left the United States, I'd really want to leave. I feel like Mexico, Canada, love both those places, but I feel like that'd be a little too close. I'd be like, yeah, it's a little too close. I left the United States. I wanna be far. You know? That's what I think. All right. So there we go. That's my thought on that. Hang on. Yes, I did. Check it out. Hold on. Boom. Yeah, I did find a new toy. Yeah, I did. Look at what I could do. Oh, status quo. I could even bring you in. Huh? I'm like a superhero. What's up, John DeEmily? How are you? Let's see. Yeah, you got it, Travers. My friend out in Scotland by the castle of Grayskull. Ron has the power. This is, what if I just did this for like an hour and a half? All you guys were like, wow, he's still going with this. This is, man, he didn't know he could do this. All right. So, oh, by the way, we are watching a movie on the Status Quo members Discord every Saturday and sometimes on other days for special occasions. We do watch quite a few foreign movies. I would love if you watched my movie. Maybe we got to, I actually, you know, I haven't formally talked to Jordan about this yet because Jordan is working on a book. That's why you've been seeing more of me. I've been working on a movie, but we're both going to be finishing up at about the same time, which is immediate. And I thought maybe we could do some kind of cool online event where Jordan does an event for his book. I do an event for my movie and we both, you know, kind of doing a joint event together. My movie is a comedy. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Jordan's book, not a freaking comedy. In fact, before we sign out here, leave some more super chats. We're not done yet. So please leave some super chats, but let's go to Jordan's Flint update real quick.
What's truly heartbreaking. But anyway,
I was hoping we might be able to do, an event together on Jordan's book and my movie. But yeah, let's go to Jordan's Flint update real quick here, Colin. I meant to get to it sooner before we went to the chat, but I did forget. As you likely noticed, I forgot. Oh, and then we'll do a quick call to action to restore net neutrality. And then we are signing off. Colin, are you here or did you bail because you found out that I figured out that I could do chats?
What's truly heartbreaking.
If you're just going to play with the chats, I'm bailing.
I've been to Flint.
You don't?
Almost 20 times. My next trip will be my 20th. I've spent 8 years covering this story. I'm writing a book, like I said, on what I've discovered, which in my mind and based on my reporting is the biggest government cover-up of the 21st century. Let me repeat. This is the biggest government cover-up of the 21st century. The Flint water cover-up honestly makes Watergate look like child's play. This is much, much worse and more corrupt than Watergate or any of the government cover-ups that the mainstream media pretends are the most sinister. What's heartbreaking is a new attorney general came in several years ago and for no actual legitimate reason, sabotaged an ongoing criminal investigation that was making progress to hold government officials who failed to act, who knowingly chose not to act, who knowingly chose not to alert the public, not to alert Flint residents when they knew those people were drinking and bathing in contaminated, poisonous water.
Oh, sorry, Colin. You can watch that full video on Status Quo's YouTube. It's out now. So yeah, Jordan's book is coming out. I can't wait to read it. And yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Flint, worst cover up than Watergate. So check out that full video. And I look forward to Jordan's book. Maybe we can do a joint event with my movie and his book. Again, my movie's a comedy. I would have to go first. I'm pretty sure we'd have to screen my movie first and then get into the heaviness of Flint. But we'll see. You know, I mean, I feel like as long as the status quo fam was into it, it could work. But I mean, it might be a little like, wow, we're depressed as hell over this Flint thing. And Ron wants us to watch his movie that's supposed to be funny. Yeah, looking forward to Jordan's book. Keep an eye out for that. And guys, we do have a call to action before we sign out here. As you know, I've covered this on the show formally. The FCC has revealed a plan to restore net neutrality. Net neutrality, of course, is the law that keeps the internet free and open. It keeps the internet flowing like running water. It prohibits internet service providers from making fast lanes and slow lanes for different content providers based on their ability to pay. It is important if you want shows like this to exist. Without net neutrality, shows like this could not exist. Full stop. There is a plan to restore it at the federal level. We lost it officially in 2017. And we had it since the advent of the internet. So here's a call to action you can do. Go to this. You can go to battleforthenet.com. This is Fight for the Future on Twitter. The FCC wants to hear from you about their plan to restore net neutrality. Want to show your support for free and open internet where big tech is not allowed to block or gatekeep traffic or access? Go to battleforthenet.com. That's battleforthenet.com. It's time to win back net neutrality. Send the FCC your support. Let them know you need them to do this so they will act. All right. They won't do this unless we demand it. So battleforthenet.com. They do have the pro net neutrality majority, but we still got to keep the pressure up. Again, that's battleforthenet.com. And for those of you in the Los Angeles area, if you're not busy tomorrow night, come see my movie. My movie is officially premiering. It's a soft premiere because it's part of the San Pedro International Film Festival. But my movie, Left at Wall, is premiering tomorrow night, November 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Warner Grand Theater. It is a free event, but reserve your spot because space is limited. It's probably going to sell out, quote unquote, sell out, because you're not buying tickets. So it's not selling per se, but you got to reserve your spot before it's no longer there. So you can just Google San Pedro International Film Festival. It'll come up. And my movie is called Left at Wall. Can we pull up the poster one more time? There we go. So make sure you're searching for Left at Wall. Reserve that movie. It's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Warner Grand. That's November 2nd. And yeah, if you can make it, see you there. I'm looking forward to it. But we'll definitely be doing a lot of screenings. I'm gonna be doing screenings all over the country, all over other parts of the world as well. We already got screenings scheduled in Sheffield, UK, and in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as well as some local stuff that we're gonna be working out the details on soon. So guys, I'll be making more announcements as they become available. Jordan's book, there will be some more info on that soon. Thank you once again to everyone. Oh, look what I can do. Yeah, thank you, Tyler. Thank you, Tony D. Thank you, Michael Cooper. Thank you, Dave L. Thank you all so much for your support of this show. It helps keep the show on the air. And what were the final results of the poll, Colin?
The final results, with 137 votes, we had 67% say yes and 32% say no.
Really? I'm surprised there was that many people saying no. It might have just been Josh Hawley. They were just like Josh Hawley. I get it.
There might be a lot of abrasion there. That's just
no, I get it. Or people just saw it, or they just saw like Josh Hawley and they were like, no. Which I get. I mean, my first
instinctual response. Yeah, like it's just
your instinctual response is. I mean, if somebody told me, hey, there's this bill by Josh Hawley, will you support it? And that was all the information I knew. It was just Josh Hawley. Of course, I'd say no. But in this particular case, I mean, if it gets rid of Citizens United, I'm for it. But we'll see what happens. There might be a poison pill anyway. We don't know. There might be a poison pill. So, guys, thank you for participating. I like doing the polls. I hope you've been enjoying them as well. Thank you again, Tyler, Tony D, Michael, and Dave L. Thank you so much for your Super Chat contributions supporting this show. Thank you, everyone who hung out today. And if you want to support this show for a monthly contribution, you can go to statusquo.com/join. Remember, when you join Status Quo, you are supporting on-the-ground journalism. We spent 25 days at the UAW strike. Jordan made 20 different trips to Flint. Status Lou was in East Palestine for the duration. We could not do any of that. Tina has been to Cop City in Atlanta. She has been to different protests and organized efforts in Los Angeles and elsewhere. We could not do any of that if it was not for your membership. So know that when you support Status Quo, you are supporting on-the-ground journalism. And you also get all kinds of cool perks. You get members' calls. Sometimes we'll do some events and hangs and stuff like that. So statusquo.com/join. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Ron Placone, and this is Status Quo signing out.